Saturday Night Theatre, the Flora Robson Festival. Dame Flora stars in some of her favorite plays. This week, she's chosen Black Chiffon by Leslie Storm, in which she appears as Alicia Christie. The play has been adapted for broadcasting by Molly Hardwick and features Stephen Murray as Robert Christie and John Glenn as Dr. Bennett Hawkins. The action takes place over a period of 3 days in October 1949, and the play opens in the drawing room of the Christie's house on Chelsea Embankment. It's a mellow, comfortable room that's been lived in a long time. Its windows look out over the river, and the distant trees in Battersea Park are red and golden in the sunshine. It's Monday afternoon.
Roy, I think you're a very nice boy.
Louise, I think you're a very nice girl.
Break it up, you two. Break it up.
Why should we, Thea?
Yes, why should we?
We like it.
You've only got 4 more days to last out before the wedding, and you look as if you'll hardly make it.
So what?
Yes, so what? You put me off my knitting.
Your knitting puts us off. It fills us with gloomy foreboding, doesn't it, Louise? The moving finger knits, and having knit, moves on. Thea, you sit waiting for that infant of yours like a tricoteur's.
A shade more grimly.
All that clicking going on a few inches from its ears. Suppose it thinks it's a time bomb.
Might hurry it along a bit. Where's Mother?
She said she had some letters to answer.
Why aren't you at work, Roy?
Oh, he's got 3 weeks off. Isn't he clever?
In view of my approaching nuptials, they said I could start my 3 weeks today.
Did they give you a present?
A check.
How much?
20 guineas.
What's the score now? In cash? 386 guineas.
It's a good racket getting married. I've never had so much money in my life. Tax-free at that.
Bill and I got much more.
We've still got a few days to go. We're waiting for the last-minute rush.
Has Daddy given you anything yet?
I'm hoping for his blessing.
He'd much sooner give you a check.
Perhaps. For the pleasure of hearing me say thank you.
Oh, Roy, why must you be so awful about him?
Darling, don't be the little peacemaker, will you?
Oh, I was only thinking how it must hurt your mother.
It doesn't. She's lived with the situation long enough.
Well, I think...
Roy's getting out of the house in a few days' time, Louise. Doesn't matter anymore.
It might be the moment to patch it up.
As the boy said when he stuck his thumb in the dike.
It's something I don't understand. It seems unnatural to me.
Is it? I don't know. You see, I've never known him.
He was away long spells in South America when we were children. We were here in London with Mother. Every time he came home, he was a stranger who took her away from us.
And you were jealous. He should have spanked you both.
He was jealous. We were too friendly, the three of us. He'd have preferred unruly children in need of masculine discipline so that he could have thrown his weight about.
Weren't you ever unruly?
Only with him. There was no need otherwise. I took on responsibility very early. I was the man of the house. He once read me a long lecture before he went about how I was to look after Mother and Thea and the house. And I took him too seriously. When he came back, he didn't like it.
There were frightful rows. Roy ran away.
Did you?
He was away for 2 days. Mother was frantic.
How old were you then, Roy?
8 or 9.
Oh, goodness.
We never were a family, really. It was always lopsided. He commandeered Mother and resented us intruding.
He didn't resent you, Thea.
No, not so much.
It was you, Roy?
Oh, Lord, yes. Always. And I was scared of him. That didn't help.
It's Mummy who's always had the heavy end of the stick, having to be a wife and mother in face of sabotage from both sides.
Well, I think she's wonderful. That calm she has.
Most women would have thrown their hand in. But she'll stand beside Daddy in church on Thursday and see Roy married, and no one will know the long war she's fought.
Roy, Roy!
There she is now. Yes, Mother?
Will you slip across to the pillar box with those letters?
Sure, I'll go now.
The whole trouble, of course, is Roy.
In what way?
He's so like Mother. In temperament, tastes, everything. Even in appearance, he's the image of Mother's father. Going into publishing, he's following her family. You know her father was John Meredith.
Yes, Roy told me.
She knew a lot about her father's business, and since Roy decided that was what he wanted to do, all her interest has revived. Though he made the decision.
I know she lent him money. Gave it to him.
Oh, yes. She'd give him her last penny.
I realized that when I first met her. I was afraid she wouldn't like me, wouldn't think I was good enough.
You don't think that now?
No, no one could have been sweeter. I like your father, too.
He's all right, except for this bee in his bonnet. This awful jealousy thing. It's something he can't help. It's grown with the years, and it's there, however much one tries to ignore it. Keeps cropping up in different shapes, different circumstances. Cut off one head and it grows another.
Perhaps our being married will solve it.
It will, to an extent.
Dear, I'm afraid Roy won't come back here very much.
No. It will be much more of a break than it ought to have been. Chuck me my knitting bag, will you, darling?
Of course. Here, thanks.
How about going to a film, Louise?
Yes, I'd love to.
What would you like to see? Now, let's have a look at the paper.
Mm. Did you catch the 2:30 post, Roy?
Yes, darling.
Oh, hello, dear. I didn't know you were here. How are you?
Horribly well, I'm afraid, Mother. I saw Dr. Stevens this morning. He says he's bored with me. I'm so normal. Says I could probably have it under a hedge and walk home. Dull, isn't it?
Yes, too bad, darling. We shall have to find you a nice hedge to test his theories.
It would certainly make an unusual announcement. To Mr. and Mrs. Hopkins, suddenly in Battersea Park. What about Mickey Rooney and Fugitive from Quarantine?
Oh, dear. What about the French film at the Academy?
Mother's crazy about Jean-Louis Barrault.
What we ought to do is go round to the flat with a tape measure and start measuring things.
Flat? Our room, you mean?
You can't call a studio just a room. It's an all-purpose flat. Well, you haven't seen it, Thea. It's one large room with a gallery and a little kitchen and bath.
What are you going to do with the gallery?
When Louise burns the dinner, Roy can always go up there and boom.
Oh.
Thanks, Mother. Have you any other bright ideas?
Oh, what colour should we have it?
I should say white.
Oh, that's what I thought. Roy says green.
Too cold. It's a north light.
Have you seen it, Mummy?
Yes.
Only for a couple of minutes. You blew in and blew out again.
I was in a hurry.
I don't think you liked it.
Did you get some sort of queer feeling about it?
No, darling. What makes you think that?
Oh, you know how one sometimes feels about a house. As if it was being sort of secretly hostile.
Did you feel that about it?
Oh, no. But I wondered if you did.
Louise is chock full of superstitions. She's always looking for pegs to hang them on.
If there'd been anything clairvoyant about Mummy, we'd have sent her out to cash in on it long ago. Where is this studio, anyway?
Yeoman's Place.
Quite near. You never get rid of your children, do you, Mummy?
No, it's too bad.
How about that film, Louise?
Oh, I wonder if I
ought... Oh, come on.
I've got such a lot to do.
What?
Preparing for this date we have in church. Should I wear gloves?
I shouldn't. They always stick, especially if one's nervous. I wore long white suede gloves and they were agony. They might have been glued on.
Where were you married?
St. Martin's in 1925. Another era. Another world. Life was simple and uncomplicated then. We didn't know what was before us.
Wonder what's before us.
Well, it isn't within one's control, I'm afraid. Keep your marriage right. It's a great source of strength, they say.
I'll try.
Come on, Louise.
Oh, I don't think I'll go to the film, Roy.
No.
I've got 100 things to do.
Can I help you with anything, darling? Any packing?
Oh, I'm only taking one suitcase down to Cornwall. I shall leave the rest of my things here, if I may, until we get back to town.
You'll be staying here anyway for a little while, until your flat's ready.
I thought we'd go to an hotel, Mother.
Why? There's plenty of room here.
No, darling, but...
Roy?
Roy thinks his father mightn't like it.
That's nonsense.
Darling, I'd rather go to an hotel. I don't have to tell you why. I don't want to come back.
It seems silly you should have to go somewhere else when this house will be practically empty.
I'm sorry, darling, but it's a new life.
Yes, of course.
And you understand?
Why, yes, Roy.
All right, I'll get it. Hello? Who is it speaking? Yes, just a moment, please. It's someone for you, Louise. Woman. She won't say who she is.
Oh. Hello? No, I don't know. Mummy! Mummy, are you speaking from India? From London? Darling, oh, I can't speak. I'm nearly weeping with excitement. Where are you? Both of you? You flew? No, I can't wait. I'm going to hang up. I'll dash out and get a taxi. I'll be with you in a few minutes. Oh, it's my parents. They've flown over for the wedding, so they took it into their heads.
Darling, I'm so pleased.
Oh, I haven't seen seen them for 3 years. And I pictured them thousands of miles away on my wedding day.
Well, it's wonderful for you, darling.
I'll get a taxi. Where are they staying?
Smith.
Well, hold your horses till I get a cab.
Well, I call that a pretty nice surprise. No cable, no anything. Just a phone call, we're here.
And they were so positive they couldn't make it.
I couldn't be more delighted. I didn't say it, but I felt so sorry for you these last few days. I knew you were missing someone of your own around. You were like a little orphan.
Oh, I hope not. You've been so marvellous, so sweet to me. You've been the absolute opposite of all one ever thought about mother-in-laws.
Mother's-in-law, darling.
Oh, yes. Oh, I must go and see if I've got a taxi.
She's terribly excited, poor child. No wonder.
Oughtn't we to do something about her parents?
Oh, yes, of course. I'll ask them to dine with us tonight. Louise?
Yes?
Ask them to come to dinner tonight, will you, here?
Oh, thank you. They'd love to, I know.
And we'd love to meet them. Half past seven.
Love.
There's Roy with the cab.
Funny to think none of us has ever met.
There they go. Roy's gone with her.
He's mad. I'm sure she'd rather have gone alone and prepared them for the shock.
I'd better think about this dinner. We were going to have fish.
They haven't been in England since before the war. You can't throw a piece of fish at them the moment they arrive.
I don't intend to, darling. I must go out and see what I can find.
Well, the fishmonger does have some pheasants. Shall I go for you?
No, thanks, dear. I'm a much better shopper than you. Pheasants? Well, why not?
Did you ring, madam?
Oh, Nanny, Miss Louise's parents have suddenly arrived from India. Isn't it exciting?
Well, I never.
They flew for the wedding. And I've asked them to dinner tonight to meet us all.
Oh, dear, madam. We've only got that bit of fish.
I know.
And it isn't all that fresh.
I know. Thea says they've got pheasants at the fishmonger's. If you'll attend to them, I'll go up to Hartman's and see what else I can find.
Very good, madam.
Let's see. Soup, pheasant, peaches in brandy or something like that. And they might have smoked salmon. I'll go now. I shan't be long.
How many will there be, madam?
What? Oh, you'll come, Thea, you and Bill?
We can't, darling, I'm sorry. We've got a date tonight.
Oh, what a pity. We'll be six then, Nanny. Oh, where's my bag? I must have left it in the hall.
I'll tell you something, Thea. I'll be glad when this wedding's over and done with.
Me too.
She's restless. Can't settle to anything. The nearer the day comes, it gets worse. I'm so afraid she'll work herself up into a state.
Now, you've never seen her in a state, Nanny, have you? She's not that kind.
Well, I don't know. You'd better hurry up and have that baby and give her something to occupy her mind.
Well, it can't be soon enough for me.
Nanny, I'll get some fresh flowers for the table when I'm out, and we'll use the lace mats, shall we?
Very good, madam.
Thea, will you phone Daddy sometime and tell him in case he's late?
Yes, darling.
Shan't be long. I'll be back about 4:30.
You asleep, Thea?
No, I'm still waiting. Where on earth can she be, Nanny?
It's 6:30.
The shops are closed. She said she'd be back by 4:30. And she knows dinner's a bit of a scramble. Where can she be? I rang up Rita's. She isn't there.
She sometimes goes to a newsreel.
Not till this time. Not when she knows there are things to do at home. Mm. I'm worried, Nanny.
Well, if anything had happened to her, we'd have known.
Nanny, something must have happened. They're due at 7:30, and it's quite an occasion. You know what Mummy's like. She's not careless about things like that.
Perhaps she had to see about something for the wedding.
No, that's all done. Do you think I ought to ring up the police?
Give her another hour. Wait till your father comes back.
Suppose she's in some hospital.
Now, it's no use meeting trouble halfway. We'd have heard. Ah, there's somebody now. Perhaps it's her.
Hello, are you still here, dear?
Roy, Mother isn't back yet.
Back from where?
Well, she went out to get some odds and ends for dinner. She said she'd be back by 4:30.
Well, she must have gone on somewhere. Rita Hedges, perhaps.
No, I rang Rita. She isn't there.
What are you in such a flap about? Can't she be a couple of hours late if she wants to?
And it's odd, that's all. She's got this dinner tonight.
Yes, and they're changing for it. Really want to do it in style.
Oh, Lord. That makes it worse. Where's Louise?
I left her at the hotel. I thought they might like a natter on their own. And I had some shopping to do.
What's in the parcel?
My trousseau.
Oh, let's see. Now, be careful, Thea. She can't keep her hands off anything.
Blimey! What's it meant to be?
A dressing gown. Gay little number, isn't it?
You're going to wear it or signal with it? Yellow and red.
Pretty nifty, isn't it, Nanny?
Plenty of colour in it.
It'll knock the girl for six when she sees it. She'll realise what she's chosen.
You'd have looked better done up in cellophane with a blue ribbon. Listen, go and see who it is, Nanny.
All right, all right.
You're giving us the jitters, Thea. Don't be so silly.
It's your father, Thea.
I rang him up and told him about Louise's parents.
Good evening, Nanny.
Good evening, sir. Let me take your coat.
Thank you, Nanny.
Hello, Daddy.
Hello. Oh, Roy, you're early.
I'm on 3 weeks' leave.
Oh, of course, I've forgotten. Where's your mother?
She's out.
Out? Where?
She went up to Hartman's to do some shopping.
Oh, it's just late. Hartman's closed an hour ago.
Yes.
Anything the matter?
Nothing. I've just been wondering why she's so late.
What time are these people coming?
7:30.
You've got to put on your dinner jacket.
Oh, must I? You met these future relatives of yours, Roy?
Yes, this afternoon.
Well, I hope?
Yes, thank you.
I trust they'll find us to their liking.
Sounds as if they were cannibals.
Isn't it time you went home, Thea?
I'm just waiting till Mother gets back.
Well, Bill'll be back by now, won't he?
Well, he can put the dinner in the oven.
Well, that's your job, surely.
Why?
He's the worker, the wage earner.
I know. I don't like to let it go to his head.
You might get me a drink, Roy, will you?
What would you like?
Pink gin.
Right.
I hope these people aren't going to get me involved in a lot of silly arguments about money and settlements and nonsense.
They won't.
Do you have to keep on calling them these people, Daddy?
What's wrong with them?
Their name's Fletcher.
Yes, I know.
Here's your pink gin.
Thank you. Now, forgive me if I don't seem over enthusiastic, but having strange people to dinner is always a little trying at the end of a hard day's work.
Of course. Would you prefer me to ring them up and ask them out to a restaurant?
Well, that, I'm afraid, would make trouble with your mother.
Would it? It hadn't occurred to me.
One is always aware of the innocence of your intentions, Roy. Well, if I have to change, I'd better go and have my bath.
Well, I can't be keeping Alicia. I just hope she gets back before these people arrive.
I can't wait to get out of this house.
He's in one of his moods. I shouldn't take any notice. He'll ooze charm when they arrive.
And I shall find myself closing up like a clam. I can see the way the evening's going to go. Thank heaven for a wife of my own and my own house.
I think Mother suddenly saw this afternoon how complete the break would be.
Well, not with her. Not with her, Thea. She knows that.
You can't ask her to your house without Daddy. And you can't make a point of coming here only when he's out.
That's exactly what I shall do.
Oh, Roy, between you, you tear her apart. I wish I knew where this all began.
Don't ask me.
You must have contributed to it.
If I did, it was unconsciously.
Is that her?
Thanks, Nanny.
Yes, Louise.
I don't know what's the matter with me. Roy, when she was going out, she looked tired somehow, sick of everything. I should have gone with her.
Hello, darling. Hello, Thea.
Hello. Are they thrilled with you? What do they think of Roy?
Oh, I've been exaggerating him, of course. All they're worried about is our finances.
Did you tell them we have the same deadly premonition?
Where's your mother, Thea?
She's not home yet. We're worried. She should have been back about 4:30.
Oh, could she be with friends?
Might be.
Thea, I wanted to ask you before. Does she ever walk in her sleep?
Mother, what on earth put that into your head?
I just wondered.
Why?
Because I woke up last night and she was standing at the foot of my bed.
Did she say anything?
No.
Did you?
I sat up, but before I could speak, she went away. She walked out slowly, as if she was walking in her sleep.
You must have dreamt it.
I swear I didn't.
She must have just come in to say goodnight.
But it was 3:00 in the morning.
You haven't mentioned it to her, have you?
No.
Well, don't.
All right. Oh, darling, I didn't warn the parents that you and your father don't quite hit it off.
Are you afraid of a scene tonight? Don't worry. We shall have our party manners on.
You'd better go and change, Louise. They'll be here before you're ready.
Oh, what shall I wear?
I wish I had that problem. I've got to wear this little maternity number till it disintegrates.
Oh, poor dear.
Roy, where can she be?
I don't know. One thing you can be sure of, she's all right. I mean, don't start thinking in terms of accidents.
How do we know?
If there's anything like that, one hears quickly.
I can't go home till I know she's back. You'd better go and change.
I suppose I must.
Do you think I should ring the police?
Oh, don't be crazy. She'll be furious. Listen, isn't that a taxi stopping?
Oh, quick, look out of the window.
Yes. There she is, paying off the taxi.
Oh, thank God.
Unscathed and sound in wind and limb. Silly little fool, you. Shall I ring the police, Roy?
Oh, get out.
All right, I'll go quietly. Hello, wanderer. We'd almost given you up.
Had you, Roy? You shouldn't have done that.
Dear, you still here? What about Bill all this time?
I say, darling, you've miscalculated a bit, haven't you? You've got to change, you know, and you've got less than half an hour.
What time is it?
5 to 7. Where are your things?
What things?
You're shopping. Mother, don't say you've left them in the taxi. Nanny will slay you. Did you leave them?
No. I forgot to get them.
You look all in, Mummy. Sit down. I'll get you a drink.
No, really, Thea. I don't want one.
No, Mummy, you've got to. You haven't had an accident or anything, have you?
No, darling, of course not.
Well, put yourself outside that. Then I'll come and help you change.
Alicia, where on earth have you been?
I didn't realize how late it was, Robert.
You have to hurry. These people are due.
Oh, it's all right. I shall be ready.
Oh, I'm tired. No wonder it's ridiculous trying to entertain these days without proper help and not enough warning. And precious little to eat. Roy should have invited them out.
Drink up, darling.
Can I run your bath, Alicia?
Please, Robert.
Oh, very well.
Have a cigarette, darling.
No, thank you.
Now relax. Relax.
Oh, did you get the peaches, madam? And the flowers?
She left them in a taxi, Nanny.
What?
Don't worry her.
I'm sorry, Nanny.
That's all right. I'll make do with the plums.
Mummy, your hand's trembling. It's upset you. Tell me, darling.
I've done a terrible thing. I took something from a shop. I told you I'd done a terrible thing. I stole it. I put it in my handbag.
Now, Mummy, tell me exactly which shop.
Hartman's.
Does anyone know? Did anyone see you?
Yes, a detective, a woman.
And then what?
I had to go to the police station.
You mean they arrested you?
Yes, I have to appear in court on Wednesday.
The day before the wedding?
If I could think how to tell them.
Don't worry about them. What was it you took, Mummy?
A nightdress.
But it's ridiculous. You've got plenty. But it's so ridiculous. They can't touch you. I mean, what sort of thing was it? Was it expensive? I mean, what attracted you? What color was it?
Black. Black chiffon.
Darling, it just doesn't make sense. You wouldn't wear a thing like that. Nothing would induce you to wear it. You know that. How dare they treat you as if you'd taken it.
But I did take it.
I know what it was. It's this trousseau fuss. You meant to buy it for Louise.
No, I didn't.
But you meant to pay for it. You saw it and you thought it was attractive. And you picked it up and you forgot. In your vague way, you walked off without paying. You know how absent-minded you are sometimes.
I picked it up.
Where did you put it?
I slipped it into my handbag.
I'll answer it, darling.
Yes? Bill, yes, it's there. Darling, I'll be late. No, I'm all right. Oh, Bill, don't ask me now. No, I swear I'm all right. You go, darling. I'll come on later.
Dear, you're going out, aren't you?
It doesn't matter. It isn't important. We must think.
Roy?
No, Thea.
What is it?
Come down a minute.
Thea, this is something I have to cope with myself. He mustn't know yet. Not till the wedding's over.
You can't carry this by yourself. Something's got to be done.
What is it, dear?
Get through to Louise's parents and put off this dinner tonight.
Yeah, I won't have it. I won't have it, I tell you.
What on earth's the matter?
He has gone mad. You'll do nothing of the kind, Roy.
Mother isn't well. She can't face it.
Face it? You're treating me like an imbecile.
You can't go through with it. It's better to put it off than break down in the middle.
Darling, what is the matter?
Mummy, we need this evening to see what we're going to do. There isn't much time.
Do what? What are you talking about, in heaven's name? You can't put them off at this time of day.
Certainly you can't.
Roy, I mean it.
If I knew what this was all about...
Nothing. It's nothing, Roy.
Mummy, Roy's got to know.
Roy, I've made a very stupid mistake. A very stupid and embarrassing mistake.
Well, tell me, darling. Out with it.
She's ill. Between you and Father, you've torn her in two.
Why haven't you gone to change, Alicia? What's going on?
Roy, go and phone from the hall. Tell them Mother's ill.
I'm not ill.
All right.
Dear, you've gone crazy.
I'm asking what's the matter. Are you ill, Alicia?
No, Robert. Daddy, she's in serious trouble.
What's the matter, Alicia?
Mother, shall we go? Would you like to talk alone?
No.
Louise is going to phone them.
You tell them, Thea.
She took something from a counter in Hartman's this afternoon.
What?
She was seen by the store detective.
How did you explain it?
I didn't.
You mean they're bringing a charge against you?
Yes.
A charge of theft?
Yes.
God's name made you do a thing like that, Alicia. Haven't you always got enough money? Don't I give you enough?
Yes.
Well, what was it you took?
Only a nightdress.
I'm completely at a loss. What in the world possessed you, Alicia? You must have been mad. You any idea why you did it?
I wanted it.
Well, then, for God's sake, why didn't you buy it?
I don't know.
Forgive me, Father, I don't want to interfere, but I don't think you're the right person to question her.
And who should question her? You?
Well, there's nothing I can tell either of you except what I've already told you.
What made you want it? What sort of thing was it?
It was black chiffon.
Black chiffon? What could you want with a thing like that? You, of all people.
Why me, of all people? At that moment, I wanted it.
You get no sympathy in the court for that kind of theft.
You talk as if it were a crime.
What else is it?
A breakdown. Thanks to you, Father, and me.
What the hell are you talking about?
Start anything. I can't stand it. Call it a crime or whatever else you want to call it.
It is a crime. After years of honorable living, one finds oneself on the wrong side of the law. Forgive me if I can't call it by anything but its real name. You, Roy, with your glib talk of blackouts and breakdowns.
Daddy! I apologize. Very humbly to you all.
Oh, Mummy.
Hush, dear. Hush, darling. Roy, take her home. She shouldn't be here. She shouldn't be upset. Darling, go home and sleep. Forget it. It isn't your worry. Go home. Go with her, Roy. Good night, darling.
Yes, Mummy.
Roy.
Yes?
It's my responsibility to try to get your mother out of this mess. I'll be obliged if you don't interfere. Please understand that none of this has anything to do with you.
Very well.
If you'll take a seat, sir, I'll tell Mr. Christie you're here.
Thank you.
Dr. Hawkins... Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm Christine.
How do you do? Nice view you have here. The river and those trees.
Yes. John Britting did a painting of it a few years ago. Where we're standing now. There it is, over the fireplace.
Oh, yes, I see.
You'd scarcely recognize it, would you? It was in the 1936 Academy.
I don't know Britting.
No, he wasn't well known. Died about 10 years ago.
Yes. I used to have a house full of pictures. When I was a young GP in the King's Road, I got pictures in lieu of fees.
Did you make on that or lose?
I have no idea. All I knew then was that I couldn't eat canvas and paint.
Can I get you a drink?
No, thanks. You're in a spot of trouble, I hear.
Yes.
Brooke Williams rang me this morning.
Yes, my solicitors have briefed him. I told them, I had to tell them, get the best counsel you can.
These cases are very tricky, as I suppose they've told you.
Yes.
The courts have had a crop of them. Much of it is deliberate, organized theft. In this case, no doubt, we could rule out any suspicion of its being organized.
No, really, Doctor.
One has to start at the beginning. I have no knowledge of either you or your wife.
You can see for yourself what we are and how we live.
I see the evidence of comfortable living.
The fruits of hard work, I can assure you.
No, I don't doubt it.
My wife shares all I have. She has an ample, even a generous allowance.
Is she given to extravagance? Overspending?
No, not at all.
And her general health? Is there any history of illness?
No, her health's always been good.
But you're of the opinion that this theft can be explained by mental disturbance. Mental illness.
Only because I can think of no other reason for it.
A well-to-do woman steals a luxury article. Legal and medical aid are immediately organized on her behalf. You must see that this will produce initial skepticism in court. It can be broken down only if her case is a genuine one.
Yes. Yes, of course, I see that.
Mr. Christie, the courts have been inundated with psychiatric evidence, which has been too often unscientific, even unscrupulous. If there is evidence of genuine mental stress or nervous derangement, then it's one's duty to explain it to the court as best one can. If there is no such evidence, you will have to rely on the clever tongue of your counsel.
Yes, I understand. But don't you want to ask me anything about my wife? What sort of person she is? The general setup?
What do you want to tell me?
Well, nothing much. Just that we're a normal, average, happy family.
Well, I congratulate you on your happiness, Mr. Christie. It may be normal, but it isn't average.
Well, I love my wife. And she, I believe, loves me.
How long have you been married?
24 years. You can imagine, Doctor, this is a terrible blow.
Yes, I know.
I seem to feel the disgrace of it more than she does. She doesn't seem to appreciate the seriousness of it.
You mean she isn't interested?
Oh, yes, she's interested, but I tell you something that struck me as odd, Doctor. We were sitting here last night, both of us very upset, because I hadn't minced matters with her about her position. And suddenly, she burst out laughing.
Hysterically?
No. Quite ordinary laughter. She didn't seem able to suppress it. You see what I mean when I say she doesn't seem to feel the disgrace of it as much as I do.
Do you often find her behavior puzzling?
No, not at all. There's nothing difficult or complicated about her. The reverse. You read her like a book.
Well, I envy you your powers, Mr. Christie.
I'm safe in saying, Doctor, that she's never done anything unpredictable in her life. And certainly nothing dishonorable. She couldn't. It wouldn't enter her head. That's what's so puzzling. She lives for her home and her family. She's what you or anyone else would call a good woman.
May I see Mrs. Christie?
Yes, of course. I'll send her in. You want to see her alone?
I should prefer to.
Doctor, if anything crops up about my relationship with my son...
Yes?
Don't pay too much attention to it, will you? It's nothing serious. Just that we're inclined to get on each other's nerves occasionally. You know how it is.
Yes, I know.
Good afternoon, Dr. Hawkins.
Now, Mrs. Christie, how do you do?
It's been a beautiful day, hasn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Won't you sit down?
No, thank you.
Doctor, I feel very awkward about this interview. It was arranged without my knowledge. I am rather at a loss as to what you expect me to say.
Have you any ideas as to what I might expect?
Probably that I heard voices or something.
No, you're not the type who hears voices. It'll help, as time is so short, if you make an effort to be truthful.
I'm quite truthful, as a rule.
Tell me, Mrs. Christie, have you ever stolen from a shop before?
No.
Have Have you ever been tempted to?
No.
What were you going to do with this nightdress? Wear it?
I don't know.
Or hide it away somewhere?
I don't know.
What did it suggest to your mind when you first saw it? Try and think back.
Doctor, I'm not a patient. I haven't come to you with a problem. I haven't asked you to help me fight anything or escape from anything.
I realize that. But you do have quite a pressing problem. The question of your defense tomorrow. It doesn't concern only you. It concerns your husband and your family.
Do you think I'm indifferent to that?
I don't know.
I have a son who is getting married in 2 days' time. This story will become public on his wedding day. How do you think I feel, Doctor? Except paralyzed with shame at having inflicted this on him.
He's your only son?
Yes.
I see. This uneventful domestic life you say you lead, family life is seldom uneventful.
Mine is. We live very quietly.
You're not a thief. You didn't take this thing with some idea of financial gain to yourself.
No.
Well, let's assume that you were impelled by some force or combination of forces, which must have a source somewhere.
One should have an anesthetic for this kind of operation.
Or a battering ram to break down the wall of defense you've built about yourself.
I'm sorry.
And around your family. What are you hiding, Mrs. Christie?
Nothing that I'm aware of.
Are you deceiving yourself about the uneventfulness of your life? The quiet of family life is deceptive. There is occasional contentment, but more often intolerable tensions. It's a battlefield, in fact, on which the struggle for happiness is won or lost.
And people like you are the spectators.
First aid men. We help to attend to the casualties. You say your son gets married on Thursday?
Yes.
Nice girl?
Yes, charming.
So Thursday's the end of a chapter.
What do you mean, Doctor?
You know what I mean.
Yes, I suppose I do. But it's the natural order of things. One wouldn't have it otherwise.
They're going to live far away?
No, quite near. They've found a studio.
Oh, they're lucky.
I don't think so. It was Louise who found it, so I couldn't say anything. I'm feeling my way round this awkward relationship of mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. You'll admit it's awkward, Doctor.
Oh, yes. Undoubtedly.
But I'm so anxious it should be successful. Probably over-anxious.
You don't like they're going to live there?
No, I don't. I've only been there once. I went in and out again. I wasn't in the place more than a couple of minutes. I couldn't bear it.
Your impressions identify themselves with the past?
Naturally, they must have done. If one gets a peculiar feeling about an empty house, it must necessarily be a sense of its past.
Not necessarily.
What else could it be?
It could be a sense of its future. It could be a picture of the life that would go on inside its walls.
Their life?
Their life.
But, Doctor, I can only think of their life together with interest and warmth and love for them both.
Did you mention it to them, this feeling you had about the house?
No, of course not.
Why? If it were a sense of its past, wouldn't it be natural to say, oh, I don't like this place. It has unpleasant or unhappy associations.
My opinion was my own. Why bore them with it?
But your reaction was so strong that you couldn't bear the place for more than a couple of minutes.
It was an instinctive thing. There was no reason for it.
You're very fond of your son, aren't you?
Yes. We've always been very great friends.
Now, there's an awkward relationship, if you like. A mother and son.
Awkward? No, Doctor. Easy. The easiest of all relationships. It was close and friendly and very precious.
Why do you say it was?
Did I? Well, it was and it is.
Would you say there's an equal affection between your husband and your son?
Have you discussed this with my husband?
He referred casually to some slight friction.
Doctor, I'm... Forgive me, but I can't go on with this.
I think it's important that you should, Mrs. Christie. I want to help you. I don't like to see a woman of obvious courage in this sort of mess. There is some resentment between them.
Yes.
On whose part? The boy or his father?
My husband.
Is it recent?
No. All the time. Ever since Roy was a baby.
Would you call it jealousy?
It's difficult to believe that a father could be jealous of his son. But it's a long story of misunderstanding and bitterness. I've had to make up for the hurts. I've had to be father and mother to Roy. And it's made the attachment between us stronger than it would have been otherwise.
Yes. How does the boy stand in all this?
Oh, now he's found himself. He's a boy with his girl, and he's delighted with her. I'm certain it will be a happy marriage.
And your work is finished.
Yes. It's the end of a chapter, as you said. But it's even more than that, Doctor. In a kind of way, it's the end of my life.
Oh, no.
Yes, it is. He's the person I've loved most in the world. Is that very terrible?
Only for you.
Doctor, I've been very frightened. There's nothing the matter with my mind, is there?
No, nothing.
You find me quite sensible and reasonable.
No, too reasonable. It isn't enough just to turn the light of reason on one's problems. Reason can be plausible, persuasive, fallible. Anything it wants to be. This approaching marriage, you've had to argue yourself into a conventional attitude to it.
Yes, but I've done it. Well, I've nearly done it.
Not quite?
That's what I meant when I asked if my mind was all right. Because there are moments as the marriage, the breakaway comes nearer, when I can only think of it with panic. It's a sort of panic that makes you beat your hands against a closed door to get out.
Or to get in.
Why do you make that difference?
You saw the difference at once.
We mustn't talk like this. It horrifies me.
Why? It doesn't horrify me. It's the old battlefield I mentioned before, the family. The bloodiest struggles in the history of the human mind have been fought on it.
But surely, Doctor, its purpose and design was for security.
That doesn't keep out the old primeval loves and hates.
What are you saying, Doctor? We're a civilized family. What do you know anyhow or think you know? You're a stranger knocking at the door of my mind.
The stranger knocking at the door of your mind might be yourself.
Just how could I be a stranger to myself?
The woman who stole a black chiffon nightdress and slipped it into her handbag was a stranger to the woman I'm talking to now.
What am I, then? A monster with two faces?
Not a monster, but with several faces. You're shocked by my conception of the family. I should like to believe the pretty pictures that are handed out to us, because if I could accept them, my pessimism would be complete and I could go and fish on the Y.
Why do you say your pessimism would be complete?
Because my own private fight is for more truth in the vision of life. Deeper soil for the mind to grow in, so that its roots can strike down into the fertile darkness below the surface.
We have different points of view.
But you're not unacquainted with the darkness, Mrs. Christie.
Oh, I've dug down, searching perhaps for life and strength, but I haven't found it. I found deeper confusion, that's all.
Looking back, can you recall anything of your state of mind when you took it? Were you excited, agitated, confused, defiant? It would help if I knew.
I was shaking with laughter.
Yes.
You see, I knew exactly what I was doing. My mind couldn't have been clearer. I knew it was theft. I have no excuse to offer either you or the magistrate.
Why were you laughing?
Do you know, Doctor, the dreadful thing is I still want to laugh. I brought this awful trouble on my husband and family. I'm deeply ashamed, but I still can't think of that moment without an appalling desire to laugh. You see, it began with laughter. Someone else's. Another woman, a stranger.
I'd like to get this a little more clearly.
I'm tempted to tell you the real story of yesterday. When I came into this room, I'd quite made up my mind not to. I was in a taxi on my way to Hartman's.
Yeah?
I was unbearably depressed. It was a mood doctor. It would have passed. But I was seeing for the first time how complete the break was going to be with my son. Something he said about never coming back. It wasn't so much the fact of his going as the fact that he was going for good. I knew he was, and that he was glad to go. And I knew that I should have been glad for him, but I wasn't. I was devastated.
Go on.
I thought of the long years I had fought to preserve our family unity. I blamed them all. I looked back on a long stretch of wasted years, and I hated them all. Sitting there in the cab, I thought, oh, God, let me escape. Let me get out of this bondage. Let me get free of every kind of love and the slavery of it. It was real depression, Doctor. I was right down in the depths.
But the mood changed.
Yes. Doctor, how much in life is accidental, do you think?
Well, I don't know the answer to that one.
Because this was sheer accident. My noticing this woman, I mean. My taxi was held up in a traffic jam. She was beside me on the pavement. One could see what she was, but she was pretty and pleasant looking. She just accosted a young man. And I was watching her from the depths of my gloom. And suddenly, she threw back her head and laughed.
Yes?
She laughed. And do you know, Doctor, it was a lovely laugh. Rich, infectious, and uplifting. It seemed to fill the cab and beat on my ears. I sat up. It came on me like a flash. There was I, the good woman. Oh, I don't mean that piggishly.
No.
I mean the sort of woman to whom love is synonymous with responsibilities.
I know what you mean.
Well, that was my kind of woman, in these black depths of depression, and there she was, with a laugh like that. The taxi moved off, and behind it, and as if it were following it, there came another peal of laughter. I can't describe the strange, exciting quality of it. It worked on me like some sort of magic. I couldn't sit still. I got out of the cab and I walked the rest of the way with her laughter still ringing in my ears. I went into the shop with this bedazzlement all around me. I went into the food department, but I couldn't bring myself to think or care what I'd come for. So I went upstairs. I felt reckless, defiant. I can't quite explain. I was walking through the shop on a kind of gale of laughter. Inward laughter. I wanted to push everybody out of my way.
Yes.
And then upstairs, I saw this thing on the counter. I stood there and looked at it. I knew what I was going to do, and I was afraid the girl would see me laughing, but she didn't. And maybe I wasn't laughing. Maybe it was all inside me. I edged nearer to it and waited for the right moment. And then I slipped it into my bag.
And then?
And then I walked away.
And this feeling of exaltation, how long did it last?
Right through the shop till I reached the door. I marched. I didn't walk. As if I were marching to music. Loud, exciting music.
And then?
And then, outside, a man barred my way. Looking back on it today, Doctor, from my proper surroundings here at home, it seems utterly fantastic. I wouldn't blame you if you told me you didn't believe me.
Oh, I do believe you. I don't doubt a word of it. Did you mention anything of this when they questioned you?
No.
You made no excuse?
No, I hadn't any. I didn't speak except to give my name and address. I was overwhelmed with shame. I still am.
No, shame is the wrong word.
It's how I feel. isolated by it. I go around the house as usual, but I'm separated from everybody in it. I don't feel that I belong amongst them anymore.
Is your son at home at the moment?
Yes.
I'd like a word with him.
I don't want him involved, Doctor. Not in any way. It has nothing to do with him.
I shan't keep him a moment.
Very well.
Roy?
Coming.
How old is the boy?
He's 22.
Yes, Mother?
This is my son, Dr. Hawkins.
How do you do?
How do you do, sir?
I'll see you before I go, Mrs. Christie.
Yes.
You wanted to speak to me?
Yes. Cigarette?
Thank you.
I've had quite a talk with your mother.
Yes.
I want to help her. How much of this business do you understand?
I think, in a vague way, I understand it, Doctor. Something of it, anyhow.
Enough to know that you and your impending marriage will have to be mentioned in her defense.
It has something to do with that, though.
Oh, yes.
I knew it. I mean, I guessed it.
I'm afraid I shall have to use and even underline her strong affection for you. You may find that embarrassing. I should feel happier if I had your permission.
I should not have to ask, Doctor.
I shan't bring you into it more than I can help. Yeah. So you're getting married on Thursday?
Yes.
Your mother's very pleased about it.
Is she? Is she really, Doctor?
Yes. Delighted.
So you're here, Roy. I heard that my son was bringing his intelligence to bear upon the problem, Dr. Hawkins.
I asked to see him for a moment.
Having been told what a phenomenon he was, I suppose.
Well, I don't think I have anything else to discuss with him.
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye.
Well, Doctor, have you had any luck?
Luck?
With your defense evidence.
I shall prepare a report this evening.
Is it going to help us?
It's a little involved. It'll have to be simplified.
Well, surely the more involved, the better. Tie them up in knots.
Magistrates don't like knots. They've got a simple remedy. Take out the knife of the law and cut through them. You must remember that the law is very clear as regards theft. They may imprison a mother who steals a loaf of bread for her starving child. In cases of theft, the motive isn't the law's affair.
But here there wasn't even a motive. Was there?
Oh, yes.
What?
A kind of revenge.
Revenge? But against whom? Against whom?
You, probably.
Me. But Doctor, I love her. I've given her everything. I've been faithful. You can't mean that she did it just to bring the scandal round my ears. Because I wouldn't believe you.
No, nothing like that.
But what then? Tell me. It's nearly driving me crazy to know my wife has to answer a charge like this. She's got to be acquitted. It's got to be shown to be a mistake.
It wasn't a mistake. My evidence can only be an explanation or analysis of her present state of mind.
Will it get her off?
Well, that I can't say.
You think she'll be fined?
It's a stiff court. It's right in the heart of a shopping center. They get a great many cases. In the last few months, they've dealt with them very severely. I hope she'll be fined.
You don't think, for a minute, they could send her to prison?
You know as well as I do that they could.
But the first offense, Doctor, no magistrate would sentence her.
That's a fallacy, I'm afraid. It depends on the circumstances. The theft of property is very high on the list these days.
Doctor, I couldn't bear it. Can you think what it would mean to her? To all of us?
Judgment Day, Mr. Christie, is any day in one's calendar. It crops up when its moment arrives.
What do you mean? Judgment Day?
The day when the past catches up with us, when cause catches up with effect. It seems fairly clear, as far as this incident is concerned, that in your innocence, there is guilt. And in her guilt, there is innocence.
I don't understand.
You must try.
I want to, but you must help me, show me how.
You are aware of her love for her son?
Yes. Is it that?
Partly. Some twisted jealousy in you has driven them together. I mean it, driven. They've been locked together, emotionally.
Are you trying to tell me something unspeakable? Unnatural?
Heavens, no. It's the most natural thing in the world.
What might seem natural to you mightn't seem like that to me.
It's a profound love. It has its roots, I should say, in a common despair. You might do well to think about that. I must go now. I'm sure I can rely on you not to repeat anything of our conversation to your wife.
Of course not.
Don't worry too much. We'll do our best for her. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Has the doctor gone?
Yes. What is it, Louise?
I wanted to tell him something.
About Alicia?
Yes.
If it's important, I'll pass it on to him.
Oh, I don't know if it is or not. It might only be a coincidence. But he might be able to make something of it that could help.
What is it?
Well, the night before last, I woke up and she was standing at the foot of my bed.
Alicia?
Yes. I didn't speak. I thought she was walking in her sleep.
Never.
Well, she was standing looking at me.
Didn't she say anything?
No, just looked. Then she went away. But the strange thing about it is that I was wearing a black chiffon nightdress. Tea's ready, Louise.
Oh, I'm going to tea with Mummy. I shall be down at Kilroy.
Well, if you hurry, you'll just catch my taxi.
Oh, thank you.
Hello, Daddy. I've collected Mother's hat for the wedding. Where is she?
She'll be here in a moment.
What's the matter, Daddy? Has Dr. Hawkins been?
Yes.
What does he say? Is everything going to be all right?
I don't know.
Hello, darling. Oh, tea's in. Roy, Louise, tea.
Coming.
I collected your hat, Mummy. I can't wait to see it. Shall I take it out of the box?
If you like.
Louise has gone to tea with her parents. We're going to the theatre tonight, Mother. I wish you'd come.
Who's going? Tea, darling?
Thank you. Louise and I and her parents. Would you like to come, dear?
Tonight? No, thanks. It's too much to think about.
You, Mother. You'll only sit here and mope.
Tea, Robert?
Thanks.
Oh, Mummy, it's a gorgeous hat. Absolute heaven. Do put it on.
Not now, darling.
Oh, you must. I must see what you're going to look like.
Not now, darling.
It's beautiful. You're going to steal the picture.
Here, put the damn thing away.
Yes, Daddy.
I'm sorry.
Our nerves are rather on edge, Thea. We've had a trying day.
It was silly of me.
This time tomorrow it will be over and then perhaps we can relax again.
Yes. Darling, what did Dr. Hawkins say?
Well, nothing much.
But he thinks it's going to be all right.
Yes, of course.
I knew it would.
Thea, it'd be a very good thing if you could take your glib talk somewhere else.
What's glib about it? I know it's going to be all right.
You're very fortunate.
Robert, what did Dr. Hawkins say? Robert, what did he say?
I don't know which is the worst to endure. The scandal or the reason for it. He knows the reason. He told you, Roy, didn't he?
No.
I had no reason. I told him so.
What you tell him and what he gathers from what you tell him are two different things.
I told him the whole circumstances and that I had no reason, no motive, nothing beyond a sudden impulse.
Didn't he give you any explanation of it?
No. How could he explain something that wasn't there? I had no reason, I tell you, Robert.
Tell the magistrate that, and you'll go straight to prison.
Prison?
Yes. And by God, it'll be you who've landed her there.
Robert.
Can't you see Mother's going through hell? It doesn't help to add to it. To frighten her with talk about going to prison. When you know very well that will never arise.
Don't talk like an idiot. When I mentioned prison, I meant it. The possibility is there. And you don't have to defend your mother against me.
If the possibility is there, it's so remote, it doesn't matter.
I don't know what you're talking about. Mind your own business.
Please, will you stop this?
I'm sorry. I'd better go.
Yes. I think you'd better.
I'll go too, Mummy. I'll ring you later.
All right, dear. Goodbye, darling. These scenes are absurd, Robert. The children are bewildered and worried as I am and you are. I'm devastated at being the cause of it.
Roy is the cause of it.
Listen, Robert. You've ruined what might have been a very happy family by this jealousy of Roy. You've never left him alone. What twist it is in you, or where it comes from, I don't know. But it's been there like a frightening presence in this house ever since he was a child.
Because I know you've always loved him more than you love me.
Well, it isn't true. I haven't.
He's had all your love.
I had to give him that much more because you gave him so little.
You've spoiled him all his life.
Is he spoiled? He's kind, he's good, he works hard, he leads a straight, honorable life.
And don't I?
Yes, of course you do. Why do you ask for comparison? I never measure him against you or you against him.
I'm obliged to you.
Look, Robert. The years when we might have been happy with a young family have gone. But we've still a lot of time ahead of us. Why don't you try to clear your mind of this poison, and let's live the rest of our lives in peace.
Poison? In my mind? How about yours?
Mine?
Dr. Hawkins said it was through your love for Roy that you landed in this.
Through Roy? What utter nonsense.
Dr. Hawkins says, and these are his very words, that you're locked together emotionally, you two.
Oh.
And because he's going out of your life with Louise, you go and do this thing.
But that is the most monstrous lie. You must be wrong. Dr. Hawkins would never have said that.
Could I have made it up? Would it ever have occurred to me? You talk about poison in my mind. There might be more peace in our lives if we make a clean sweep while we're about it. Did you know that you went into Louise's room?
When? I often go into Louise's
room. A couple of nights ago, during the night.
Never.
Well, the truth is that whether you knew it or not, you did. And she was wearing a black chiffon nightdress.
I don't believe it. Who said so? I never told Dr. Hawkins.
It's impossible not to connect the two things. One doesn't have to be a mind specialist to see that you had some queer, half-witted notion of competing with Louise.
What you say is quite hideous.
The facts are hideous.
I can straighten out this idea about Louise now. I like her. I want her to marry Roy. With all my heart, I want them to be happy.
That's what you tell yourself.
I swear it's the truth. And there are 100 subtle ways in which a woman who didn't want her son to marry could use her influence. I'd never even been tempted to try.
Then ask yourself this. You go to Louise's room. She's wearing a black chiffon nightdress. The very next day, you go and steal, not buy, the identical object.
Oh.
Ask yourself why. Because you have to answer it tomorrow morning from the dock. And you can take it that they'll get at you personally for your answer, however strongly you may be propped up by Brooke Williams and Hawkins.
It has nothing to do with Louise.
However you explain it to yourself, you must admit it was an abnormal act. It sprang from something abnormal.
There's nothing abnormal in me, Robert. Or is there? I don't know. What?
It's quite obvious to anyone else. Your love for Roy.
Rubbish. Utter and complete rubbish. I've never heard such rubbish in my life.
Ask Hawkins. And what's more, it's all got to come out. It's your defense. It's the story that'll be told in court tomorrow. And you better prepare yourself to cope with it.
He's going to use that in court to tell you that?
He has to. It's the truth. Oh. Horrible as it is. And no more for you than for me. And it has to be used because it's the only thing that'll win sympathy for your case.
Sympathy? I don't want sympathy.
For your case, I say.
If that is put forward in open court, then where do I stand for the rest of my life with Roy and Louise? I'd be shut off forever for them and their children.
That might be a good thing.
For whom?
For you and me.
If I were a possessive mother, it would be a good thing, but am I? Have I tried to keep Roy from marrying? Haven't I treated Louise as my own daughter? If there were anything abnormal in my love for Roy...
What you forget is that you've proved it abnormal. It's got you into a dock answering a charge in public. And your sole defense is that it was an abnormal act springing from an abnormal state of mind.
I shall deny it with my whole strength.
You can't deny it. You won't be in a position to. Don't imagine that I like the revelation of this any more than you do. My whole object in making you face this now is so that you'll be better able to face it tomorrow.
Face it? Stand by while I'm acquitted of theft and quietly accused of something unspeakable.
You will be accused.
But I shall be defended by an insinuation that I'm in love with my son.
No, they won't say that. They won't put it that way.
They make it sound that way. I'd rather die than ever hear it. And it's lies, lies, complete and absolute lies.
He's got to hear it. It'll put an end to this nonsense.
He won't hear it. It isn't true, I tell you.
It is true. It's always been true.
And you want him to hear it. A distorted story that will make him ashamed. I can't bear this, Robert. I love him. He's my only son, and I've loved him all my life. Is that so terrible? Is that something for which I should feel ashamed?
It's terrible in this, that it brought about a crisis that threatens to wreck the lives of all of us. You must see what you've done.
What were the words Hawkins used? Locked together emotionally. Is that what you say tomorrow?
Something like that.
It's a pleasant discovery to present to a boy on the eve of his marriage.
That's his lookout.
I shall prevent it. I shall protect him from it somehow.
Protect him? It's yourself you'll have to protect. You'll be standing there in the dock fighting for your own reputation. And mine.
I shan't hurt your reputation. Hello? Oh, good morning, Mrs. Barnes. It's Mrs. Christie. Yes, I am early, but I have to go out. Would you send me the usual amount of potatoes and 2 pounds of cooking apples? What fresh fruit have you today? Oh, have you? Well, perhaps you'd let me have a couple of pounds. Yes, thanks. Goodbye. Well, that's taken care of, Nanny. Now, what else have we to think of? You could make a curry for lunch with that cold meat, and for dinner, well, we can have fish.
When do you think you'll be back?
We've got to be at the court at 10. I really don't know, Nanny, dear, but I should think we'll be back by lunchtime. But
I'll get it ready for the usual time, 1 o'clock.
Yes.
Would you like me to make you a nice cup of coffee before you set out?
No, thanks, Nanny.
How about flowers? You won't have any time tomorrow.
Yes, you might call in and order some.
Hello, darling. Hello, Nanny.
What are you doing here at this time of the morning, Sia?
I thought you might like me to come to the court, darling.
Whatever put that idea into your head?
Daddy's going.
Oh, he's only driving me down. I don't want him to come in.
Well, madam, if I don't see you before you go, good luck.
Yes. Oh, Nanny, I'm expecting Dr. Hawkins. Bring him up here the minute he comes, will you?
Yes, madam.
I like your hat.
It's got a thickish veil that I can pull down to cover my face.
You think of everything, don't you?
You shouldn't have got up so early. Didn't you sleep?
Yes, of course, darling. I slept like a log. Did you?
Yes, thanks, dear.
What's Dr. Hawkins coming to see you about?
Nothing much. Some last-minute details.
Well, it'll be a relief when it's behind us. It won't be long now.
We shall be back for lunch. Will you be here, Thea?
Yes. And Bill sent you his love. He told me to tell you he'd keep his fingers crossed for you.
That was sweet of him. You shouldn't have had this worry, Thea, at this time.
Darling, don't give it a thought. I'm not worried. I know everything's going to be all right. I only wish I could come and hold your hand in the court. It's like waiting for the train to go when one's going back to school, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, Mummy. Mummy, I can't keep it up. I'm so frightened for you.
Dear, stop it. Listen to me. I will not have you upset yourself. Now, stop it.
It's all right. It stopped. Oh, dear. I came round here full of advice from Bill to be gay and bright. He'd be furious with me. What can I do while you're out? Is there anything you need for tomorrow?
No. No, darling, I don't think so.
Shall I order you a spray of orchids?
Yes, dear.
What color?
Oh, I don't mind. And get some for yourself.
I'm too pregnant for orchids.
Oh, what would you like? Sunflowers?
Dr. Hawkins, madam.
Oh, good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Mrs. Christie.
My daughter, Thea.
How do you do?
How do you do? I'll leave you. You haven't much time.
Oh, will you see we're not interrupted for a moment, Thea?
Yes, of course. Thank you for coming round so quickly, Doctor. I phoned you because I had to see you before we went to the court. Do sit down.
Thank you.
I don't know how to apologize to you, but yesterday when I talked to you, I was overwrought. I didn't tell you the truth.
No?
I'm sorry. I had reason enough. I was ashamed of the real truth. You believed what I told you yesterday, didn't you?
Yes.
And you made your diagnosis on it. A mother clamped emotionally to her son. Locked together was the phrase you used.
Not to you. I used it to your husband.
Well, no matter. Your memory must be better than mine. But it's your picture of the situation, the one you're going to use, isn't it?
More or less.
What I want to tell you is that it's entirely false. The real picture is quite discreditable. You'll probably wash your hands of the whole affair.
Are you anxious that I should, Mrs. Christie?
No, but you must hear what I have to say.
Yes, yes, I'm listening.
My motive in stealing that thing, Doctor, was as clear-cut as that of any other person who steals deliberately. I wanted it. I was going away. After the fuss of the wedding, I was going away with someone who wants me to go away with him. I was ashamed at my age to buy an exotic piece of nonsense like that, but I wanted it, so I took it. It seemed so much easier. So you see why I lied. It's a disorderly little story, isn't it?
Yes.
It puts rather a different face on the defense.
Who is this person you were going away with? What's his name?
Why should I answer that?
Please don't stall, Mrs. Christie. What is his name?
It's Brissing, if you must know. John Brissing.
What does he do?
He's an artist.
I see. Well, you've set me a very difficult problem.
Because I've upset your defense at the last moment?
More complex than that. You see, Mrs. Christie, when I first came into this room, I said something about the view, and your husband pointed out that picture over there by an artist called John Brissing. He said he'd been dead for 10 years.
You're laughing at me.
No. No, I'm not an enemy, Mrs. Christie.
I know. I'm sorry.
So I can discount the whole story of your going away as a desperate invention dictated by a desperate dilemma, which I'm just beginning to see.
Doctor, I will not have the relationship between my son and myself manhandled in a court. You know it could be torn to shreds. And where would he stand afterwards? Where especially in his new, young, delicate relationship with his wife? And my husband, where would he be? A father jealous of his son. Cruel, hard, unkind, they'll say. And he isn't, Doctor, he isn't. Whatever sort of woman I am, or whatever they think I am, I have some sense of values. I've lived long enough to decide what is important and what isn't so important.
And what is important to you is that nothing should be made of your love for your son or the friction between him and your husband.
Not a word. No suggestion of it, or any mention even that I have a son.
But your whole defense rests on...
I can't help that.
Mrs. Christie.
I'd rather be tried for a petty crime and accept their judgment on it than have the secrets of my heart explored in public.
When did you come to this conclusion?
During the night. You see, Doctor, in the last 24 hours, I've learned that when these strange human secrets are dragged out, they assume a new shape. They take on a life of their own. I find it terrifying.
What in particular are you afraid of?
Their power of destruction. I haven't your knowledge. I've got nothing to go on except my own instinct. I see this as a serious incident in my life and my husband's, but more so in my son's. Put yourself in his place. On the eve of his wedding, there is a public discussion. perhaps a heated, intensive discussion on the relationship between his mother and himself. If it becomes a battle of wits between the defense and the magistrate, neither you nor I will have any power to say where it will end. Doctor, that is so, isn't it?
Go on.
The defense at the least would be an attack on his privacy, on the privacy of my whole family. To save myself, it would mean tearing down the wall of my house and exposing all these years of life inside it. That would be a terrible thing to do. Also, Doctor, and this is what matters most, words and phrases will be used. Because of what I've done, there might be the suggestion that in my love for my son, there was something abnormal.
But that's nonsense, Mrs. Christie. There's nothing abnormal in your love for your son.
There isn't?
No, nothing. I should never dream of using the word abnormal.
No, you wouldn't. But they might.
No one who knew the whole facts of this case would use it.
It has only to be mentioned once to do infinite harm to him and his wife.
That's something we shall have to risk. You can't be allowed to discard your whole defense because of words and phrases that might or might not be mentioned.
Forgive me, Doctor, but that is exactly what I mean to do. Discard the whole defense.
Mrs. Christie, please listen to me, because time's very short. If you're tried for theft without the background of mental stress and strong emotional disturbance, you might, if you're lucky, get off with a fine. On the other hand, you might not.
I knew there was that possibility.
It's more than a possibility. The magistrate is Sanderson. Only a couple of weeks ago, he made public his views on this sort of theft. The only way to deal with it, he said, is by imprisonment. We've had to build you up a very strong defense.
Around my son?
Yes, because it's the truth. The whole strength of the defense lies in its truth. It's sufficiently strong to break down even this magistrate's objection to psychological evidence. You will leave the court a free woman.
Not at that cost, Doctor.
Mrs. Christie, please, I can't allow this to happen.
Doctor, I know exactly what I'm doing.
Have you ever seen the inside of a woman's prison?
I could recover from a prison sentence.
And your family?
They will recover from it, too. Much more quickly and more easily than from the indignity of the defense.
I don't quite know what to do. I ought to call your husband and stop you from doing this.
But you're not going to, because you see what I'm doing and why.
You may be right. In the long run, you probably are right. Well, I must get along to the court to see Brooke Williams. Now, what do you want me to tell him?
Tell him that I shall plead guilty.
And if you're asked for any reason why you took this thing?
I took it because I wanted it.
And you realize that after that, there'll be no more to be said?
That's all I want, Doctor. That no more shall be said.
Very well.
You will see to it that nothing can go wrong.
I'm at your service, Mrs. Christie. And if you'll allow me to say so, at this moment I'm also at your feet. Good luck.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Hawkins took a long time. What's he been saying?
Not much. I did most of the talking.
Would you like a glass of brandy?
No, thanks, Robert.
Father, if you'll give me the key of the garage, I'll get the car out for you.
No. I'll get the car, Roy. You stay with your mother.
Have you got the shakes, darling?
A little.
Oh, don't worry, it'll soon be over. Did you sleep?
Yes, thanks. And you?
Yes, rather. Mother, isn't it silly? I don't know what to say to you.
There's nothing to say, darling.
If I could go there instead of you.
Don't let's think about it.
Mother, I wish I didn't feel so tongue-tied.
I know.
If I could tell you how much I love you without feeling an ape about it.
You don't look like an ape to me.
You carried a torch for me as far back as I can remember. And since I grew up, you've been such a friend. Such a great friend, Mother.
Darling, thank you. Roy, we've only got a few minutes. I want to talk to you about tomorrow.
Why tomorrow?
Because I don't want to talk to you about today. Get yourself ready in good time, won't you? Don't turn up at the church looking untidy and rushed.
No.
You look very handsome. And Louise will look lovely. I should be terribly proud of you.
What do you mean is whether you're there or not?
Yes, darling. There's always the chance that the case may go against me.
I'm not even going to begin to think about that.
It's only a remote possibility, Roy, but there it is. If it does, promise me that everything will go on as if nothing had happened.
Mother, how could it?
It must, Roy. Promise me that.
All right. I promise. But why even think about it? Hawkins' evidence will put everything right for you, won't it?
Oh, he's done his best to uncover some emotional disturbance, as he calls it. But it's difficult for him because, you see, there's nothing there. After all, I should know. And there's nothing there.
Darling, Nanny insists that I give you this.
Oh, what is it, dear?
Some beastly little Chinese idol. Oh. With him in your pocket, you're insulated against everything.
Good.
The car's at the door.
You'll be back for lunch?
I think so. If we're late, don't wait for us. And, darling, I just want you to know how sorry I am to have brought this worry on you.
Oh, Mama.
See you, darling. Goodbye, Roy.
Goodbye, Mother.
Oh, it's a lovely morning.
Why don't you both go for a walk?
Can't be long now.
I wish now we'd gone to the court. We could have waited outside. It would have been better than sitting here. Why doesn't Daddy telephone?
There may be a fine to pay. Perhaps that's taking the time.
Are you going to have your lunch or will you wait?
We'll wait, Nanny.
Can't be long now.
We've been saying that for the last hour. It's nearly two.
The flowers have come. Would you like to arrange them, Thea?
Presently, Nanny.
Give you something to do.
Plenty to do, keeping myself from going crazy.
I salted the potatoes twice. Had to pour all the water out and boil them up again. I'd better go and see they're all right.
There's the car. They're back. Father? And Hawkins.
If you wouldn't mind, then, Hawkins.
All right,
Mrs.
Christie, I have to help.
Roy, I'm terrified.
We'll know in a minute.
I've never felt so terrified in my life.
Well, Doctor, is it over?
Yes. I'm very sorry to have to be the bearer of bad news.
Where is she?
Father asked me to break it to you.
What?
They gave her 3 months imprisonment.
No!
Now, don't give way too much. You must. Oh. You really mustn't.
It's cruel. It's brutal.
3 months? I can't believe it. Are they mad? Haven't they any understanding? Couldn't they see?
Where is she? Where have they taken her?
To Holloway.
She'll never be able to stand it.
Oh, she'll be all right. She was very calm. She heard the sentence and walked down from the dock without any sign of emotion. You see, she expected it.
But what about the defense?
There was no defense. She pleaded guilty.
But what about your evidence?
She refused to call me. There was nothing we could do.
But what could have possessed her?
your mother is a woman with a fastidious mind and an eager heart. It makes for a sort of obstinacy.
Obstinacy?
Yes. The obstinacy with which a bird will freeze to its nest. I must go. I'm terribly sorry. Try not to worry too much. I hope the time will pass quickly for you and for her. Your father will see me out.
Thank you, sir.
I shall have my baby, but she won't be here.
I shall be married, and she won't be here.
Even the room looks strange. Empty and horrible. I shan't come here while she's away.
We must, dear. We both must. Things must be right for her to come back to.
Daddy. Daddy.
Hawkins told you?
Yes, Father. He did.
I don't know what we're going to do. There was a change of plan at the last moment. I wasn't told. I didn't know.
Tell us about her, Daddy. Did you see her?
Yes. They let me see her before they took her away. She sent you both her love. She was so anxious about the wedding tomorrow. I told her not to worry. I knew you'd help me, Thea.
Yes.
Take her place. I assured her that everything would be all right. Roy, we must get things straight before she comes home. Will you help me?
I'd very much like to try, Father.
Flora Robson played Alicia Christie in Black Chiffon by Leslie Storm. This was another program in the Flora Robson Festival, in which Dame Flora stars in some of her favorite plays. Appearing with Dame Flora were Stephen Murray as Robert Christie, John Glenn as Bennett Hawkins, Gabrielle Blunt as Thea, Rosalind Shanks as Louise, Alexander John as Roy, and Marjorie Westbury as Nanny. The play was adapted for broadcasting by Molly Hardwick and produced by Joe Burrows.